given the choice between enduring 24 hours of amateur Shakespearean theatrics or speaking with his father for 5 minutes, Bennet, Lord Carson, would have only one thing to say. Now is the winter of our discontent. But Bennet hadn't been given the choice, so there would be no winter. Certainly not any glorious summer, or any kind of escape at all.
It was my understanding you were to be married to an heiress as soon as possible,
the Marquis of Wheatley said, tapping the top of the desk. Bennet's desk. The Marquis had made a rare appearance at his own home that afternoon. Calling Bennet into his office, the Marquis's office only in name, since Bennet was the one who did all the work there, for what was certain to be an unpleasant encounter. Most of Bennet's meetings with his father were unpleasant. The only topic on which it seemed they could agree was the weather.
Yes, sun is preferable to rain. Glad to have that settled.
The office was normally a place of refuge for Bennet. After all, nobody else wanted to put in the work he did here. And the chair was adjusted to his height, not his father's. Likewise, the books closest at hand were mostly ones dealing with business and agriculture, although Bennet sometimes found time to dive into the latest works of Charles Dickens, although that author wrote faster than Bennet could read, which said more about Bennet's spare time than Mr. Dickens's output.
And yet your younger brother Alexander snatched away the Duke's daughter, Lady Eleanor.
Bennet supplied.
Your daughter-in-law,
he said pointedly.
And then that other one,
Lady Olivia,
was stolen by that bastard.
That bastard was also Bennet's best friend.
Edward. His name is Edward.
Bennet had long ago given up being resentful of having to bear the weight of the family's responsibilities. It didn't do any good. And it wouldn't help the many families and small businesses that depended on the Marquis's various holdings. Or provide funds for the care Bennet's invalid mother, the Marquis's neglected wife, required. The Marquis waved his hand in dismissal, because remembering people's names was far less important than maintaining the Marquis's quality of life.
I've been to the bank, and even though Alexander's bride brought a dowry, it appears we are still in straitened circumstances.
Bennet clamped his jaw to prevent him saying what was on his mind, that his father was draining the funds to support his second family, consisting of his mistress and her two children, that he was profligate in general, and that he hadn't shown an iota of interest in helping the family beyond marrying his heir off to a wealthy woman. Had he thought he wasn't resentful?
Never mind. He'd lied. It takes time to recover from the kinds of setbacks we've had.
He was proud of his reasonable tone of voice, and for not pointing out that if his father didn't spend every penny that came in, the family finances would be much better. Reinvestment, not constant spending, was the key to a solid future. Something everybody but his father agreed on. His father twisted on the chair, raising his feet to place them on the desk, disturbing the papers Bennet had been working on.
We don't have time. You'll need to sort this situation out as soon as possible.
As though finding the female with whom you'd spend the rest of your life was a situation to be sorted. Like choosing which coat to wear that day, or selecting one piece of horse flesh over another. He'd seen firsthand the kind of marriages those types of business transactions resulted in, and he wanted no parts of that. When Bennet allowed himself to think about what he did want, which wasn't often, he knew he wanted to fall in love. To marry a quiet, gentle lady, someone who would be a soft respite to come home to at the end of a long day. But he didn't have the luxury of indulging his wants, since he spent his days working on business and his nights at society events, drumming up support for more business ventures. Business. Responsibility. Hard work. His life sounded as though it were the final directives of an instructive moral tale for children. And just as dull.